You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
She fires this other bull off enough to piss him off, to get him out of his bed, and he came down and started fighting this other bull in this creek bottom.
Welcome to the Hardworking Hunter Podcast. Here I plan to bring you the good, the bad, and the ugly of some amazing adventure stories, as well as share some lessons learned over years of hunting experience. You can find out more about Hardworking Hunter, including films and other articles, at hardworkinghunter.com. All right. Welcome back to the Hardworking Hunter Podcast. Today I got a special guest on, Stephen Dawn. And you might have heard of him through Elevation Fitness Training. Him and Courtney, you know, are down in Oregon tearing it up. And so, yeah, I kind of wanted to have him on and tell some stories, shoot some shit, and totally winging it. But how's it going, Steven?
Hey, Zach, what's up, buddy? Yeah, shooting the shit and winging it is my specialty. So I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, for sure. So, how's it going? I've been seeing you guys on Instagram, you know, doing some yard selling and stuff. But isn't Snowbird this weekend? Was that this weekend?
No, Snowbird is going to be second week of July.
Oh, so. I was like confused. I was like, man, I thought you guys would have been down there for that. But
yeah, we had a full draw film tour out just. You know, Wayne Endicott, owner of the Bow Rack, is kind of our, you know, not so far away neighbor, and he had that out at his farm on Friday. But other than that, we're just yard sailing it, man. We are yard sailing it.
Yeah, well, so, that's good. It's spring cleaning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, for sure. And then we've, you know, you've got your friends and neighbors that are like, hey, do you mind if we just drop some crap off? Can we just drop some of our, like, well, yeah, man, there's a 15%, you know, storage fee per night. So,
oh, that's awesome. So you guys got out and did quite a bit of spring bear hunting this year. How'd that go for you?
We did. You know, Zach, we had to really pick and choose our battles with all of Courtney's stuff going on lately. You know, she really made it through the shoulder surgery, and that was one of the more tough. She's had four major surgeries since December. And so, you know, the first surgery she's ever had in her life as a 33-year-old woman was a major shoulder surgery. So that was a, you know, it's kind of a kick to the pants of reality. Like, whoa, wait a second. I'm not indestructible. And, you know, timing wise, we figured by April, she'll be good, you know, maybe not be able to shoot a bow, but heck, she can shoot a gun, and we're covered up in, you know, giant black bear. And so it just so happens we were doing the International Sportsman's Expo in, out in Salt Lake City, and she won a freaking Model 70 7mm REM mag from the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation drawing.
Holy crap.
So I was like, geez, that was meant to happen. So, but you know, we really had to pick our battles. She you know, she had a couple other major surgeries, and then she had a big hip surgery. So, you know, out here it's not like you're out walking through a hayfield calling bears in. So we had to really decide, you know, based on we had a real spring this year. We had lots of rain, which was good, but at the same time she couldn't be out there slipping and sliding around. Even on flat land she had to use some sticks, man, some poles, some trekking poles. So yeah. We got out, you know, we did a couple kind of, you know, truck hunts just for the fact she couldn't really hike that much. And then, you know, we rehabbed her back and got her strong, and she's, you know, she's not all the way there yet, but she wanted to get up in her tree stand. So I went up and put a couple more steps in her tree stand, and, that's, you know, pushing 32 feet in the air. So it took a while, but we got her up there, and we sat there, and, you know, several days before that, we had this big old lunker of a boar, you know, well over 300 pounds, and thought for sure he was going to come on in there, and we didn't see a thing.
Oh, man.
So, but yeah, she got a shot at a nice probably 250 plus pound boar with my rifle, kind of on a, you know, unsturdy stump in this clear cut, and we think she'd shot just over him. He'd kind of turned facing away. It was a real skinny target, and I told her it's because it was the first time she ever shot my rifle, and it's a left-handed rifle, so.
Oh, yeah.
The benefit of the doubt kind of deal.
Well, I'm really good about skipping ahead and getting ahead of myself and jumping right into story time, but, you know, I kind of introduced you guys as being down in Oregon, but why don't you tell us about what you got going on there with Elevation Fitness Training? I know I've been a supporter for a while. You know, I mean, I haven't like actually subscribed to your guys' plan or whatever, but that's because I'm a, you know, self-doer myself and have enough motivation to, you know, get out and exercise and stay in shape. But, you know, I've been a fan of what you guys represent.
Man, thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah, you've been showing the love and supporting us, and we can't thank you enough. And we're trying to do the same thing. And you know, that's the beauty about, you know, the archery world and the backcountry fitness aspect of it. You know, those who are driven enough to get it done or to seek out help from, you know, someone like us tend to really show the love and give the support. So we appreciate that. You know, we're actually we've just kind of taken on a new rebranding of our business that we haven't even announced, but you know, we might as well make it official somewhat to what I can share at least, with you. So you'll be the newsbreaker. We are about to drop two, possibly three, depending on the timing, three new giant programs. Two of them are going to be a 12-week, kind of major overhaul. One is going to be a September ready program that I'm going to be heading up. It's going to be 3 days a week. It is going to be at a, you know, a very affordable, you know, entry level platform. And it's basically going to be designed for those folks who just, you know, they're busy. You've got kids and, you know, like today's Father's Day.
Right.
You know, and happy Father's Day to everybody out there. For the dads and for the moms and the, you know, the leaders and the bosses and the people that are busy, you know, you've got enough on your plate, you've got enough decisions to make. So trying to find the time and the drive and the focus, and not even that, but the organization to, you know, to line up these exercises and get yourself ready. So you're not, you know, that last person up the ridge again this year, you know, 'cause it's brutal. Or you down that deer, that you know, you're on that sheep hunt that you've been waiting 15 years for, and all of a sudden, man, you're at 10,000 feet and you can't breathe. You're not sure if you're gonna be able to make it out of there. So we want to provide a platform of safe, comfortable, you know, family kind of feel environment training that is 100% customizable to, you know, the individual. It's definitely not a one size fits all, which is what we've, you know, preached and lived by since the day we started Elevation Fitness Training. But this is going to be a very exciting program. We're about a week from dropping it, and it's extremely niche down to the bow hunter who is going to be hunting in the Western states, you know, backcountry, and whether you're doing it solo or with a partner, you need to be able to get yourself and or your partner in and out, you know, safely and confidently know that you can get the job done if you do seal the deal. So we're focusing on that. Courtney is also about to drop a pretty big, it's going to be focused on women and weight loss. That's going to be for not only the everyday mom, wife, or just athlete, to the backcountry female hunter. You know, that's, it's actually one of the fastest growing aspects of hunting today is female archers.
Yeah.
I mean, it is growing, it's exploding. And, you know, obviously she's at the forefront of that, and, people seeing, you know, what she's been going through and she's just triumphed over all these different setbacks. And it's been, you know, it's been a long 7 months. And so you see someone like her going from, you know, basically doing anything we want physically to having to shoot with a mouth tab to not being able to walk. And then now she's pulling a 51-pound bow again. We're about to go out and do some shed hunting today and set up some new game cams in a pretty gnarly spot. So, you know, it's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to do it and then be able to share that with others. So I think that's going to be huge success. So we're really excited about that as well.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. No, I'm excited to see what you guys come up with. You definitely even have a lot more of a structured routine than I do. You know, I just kind of like try to keep up my cardio and have enough heart that I can push myself through anything, you know, but, but I definitely feel it sometimes, you know, when I'm out, it seems like after that first week is when I actually start to feel more comfortable, you know, climbing, but, I don't know. It's also cause like in the past, I've always lived in the flat land of Eastern Washington and it was, you know, an hour and a half to the nearest mountain. And so,
right. You know,
now me being up in Alaska and having, you know, the Chugach right here out of my back door, I've already hiked more this summer than I ever have in the past. So that's going to be huge for me in this coming season.
Yeah, so. Man, you know what, if, like you said, when you're living in the flatlands and it's an hour away, it's not convenient just to go get an exercise an hour away. You can come up with, you know, a dozen different reasons, and I don't even call them excuses, right? They're reasons, legitimate reasons not to go drive an hour one way to go and beat yourself into the ground, drive an hour back, get all stoved up in the rig on the ride home, and then be like, oh, that was a blast. I feel like crap.
Yeah.
I did that again.
Well, I mean, I had a little hill that was kind of, you know, a mile away from my house, but it was, you know, like I said, a little hill. It was probably, 90 yards, you know, kind of. It was pretty steep, but it was also sand. So that helped as far as, you know, I'd go do my weighted pack exercises on that hill and just go up and down, up and down, up and down. Because that was the closest somewhat of a hill that I could, you know, find. So I made it work, but
sure, man. Yeah, for sure.
But you know, now it's just so much better to just drive 15 minutes and I'm climbing straight up, you know, so.
Yeah. And there's something about that Alaskan air, man. I've spent some time up there between, outside of Anchorage, kind of in those rolling hills, and then all the way, you know, out to the Sitka area, and then is it Hope?
Oh,
I'm trying to remember. There's a little, gosh, there's so many incredible spots just around there, but the air is different. It's crisp. The mosquitoes are big enough to ride on, and there's always good food to be had.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, so you think Courtney's going to be good to go for hunting this season then, this fall? She seems she's making leaps and bounds of progress. So what do you guys got coming up?
Yeah, she is, man. You know, and it's all just a testament to following the program. You know, you can't preach it and then not do it. And I think the biggest mistake that folks do when they go through a major surgery, her labrum on her hip, for those of you who aren't familiar with what that is, I won't over explain it or anything, but your labrum is a extremely strong but pliable piece of soft tissue that actually holds the bone into the socket. So you've got this big ball and socket in your hip. And some people's sockets in their hips are really deep and some aren't, some are just pretty normal. Well, she's got a normal one, thank goodness, but there's this material that holds that in and it holds it tight. So it can pivot and rotate and move around and take shock. And it's actually just a little bit stretchable. So, you know, if it gets hammered on or you fall, it can take a little bit of that stretch. Well, hers was torn 97%. It was a traumatic tear, and actually there's only two surgeons in the entire state of Oregon that do these labral repairs, and the lady that she had do it, Dr. Herska, who is absolutely out of this world talented, said in the 2,600 of them that she has performed, maybe it's 2,000 that she's performed, she's never seen one this bad. So it was, you know, it was a major, major deal, you know, and the part of that to really consider is that, you know, you're sent to physical therapy within 6 days, you know. and you're up moving around and you're forcing this thing to work. And if you don't follow that protocol, you're going to lose. You know, you're not going to heal. And a lot of folks are like, well, I'm feeling better and I don't really want to get up and drive 12, 15, 25 miles to physical therapy. I can figure it out on my own. And man, I urge people to go, go, go. You know, we've got combined 30 years of experience in fitness training and rehab and, you know, all kinds of, you know, the athletic aspect of life. And we've used every single piece of resource that we can to help her get going. So that's the first disclaimer I would put out there. And the reason why we can go and hunt now and why she can go out today with me and we can do some shed hunting and we're going to go, you know, we're not going to go crazy. We're not going to go down a couple of these ridges. We've got a couple game cams that have been out for several months down some gnarly spots. And, you know, I'll just go down and pull the cards out and check them real quick. And, you know, awesome stealth cams. And we've got card readers, so you can just plug them right into the phone and download them and clear them and, you know, throw them back in there. So there's no need for her to go down there. She's going to want to try. And I'll be honest with you, Zach, I'm going to have to, you know, I'll probably have to tie her to a tree or something. she's going to try to go down there. I'm going to call my shot right now and I'll post something about it.
Yeah.
trying to wrangle her in. I actually asked her, her surgeon, if they made like people sized halters so I could throw a halter on her and some reins and try to control it a little bit.
They do for kids, but I don't know about like adults.
Right, yeah. Yeah, she'd probably drag me up or down the hill regardless. So, you know, we didn't, I put in for a ton of draws in Nevada because we weren't sure the rate of her recovery. You know, we didn't know what it was going to be. So I went nuts down there and unfortunately didn't draw anything. But we didn't put for any draws in Oregon for the simple fact that, you know, what if we drew a Mount Emily or Sled Springs or, you know, some kind of crazy big tag and then
she's not quite ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a bunch of point savers and we're going to, you know, draw something great next year. And I think that, you know, we've been invited out to a couple different states in Wyoming and Arizona and Montana and Colorado and Utah and Idaho hunt and all that kind of stuff. So I think we're going to try to save, you know, all of that, which is going to take a lot of athletic ability and guts for next year when she's just absolutely 100% ready to go, you know, banging on all cylinders. But we're going to be hitting up the, you know, the eastern side of Oregon. We chased some giant bulls down into this horrible canyon last year and there wasn't a sign of another human being for miles. Actually, it was packed with wolves, which we were quite surprised about. We actually found wolf scat in her boot print from, you know, no more than 6 hours prior on the way into the spot on the way out. So it's a place that we can't wait to go back. Yeah, she actually bugled us all the way down. She's like, I want to call. And man, so we're going to go right into the story with this one. So we get to the spot and I'd been hunting there for a couple years prior. And I said, you know, I've never been over, you know, slightly southeast of where we were at in another unit. And there's no traffic or roads or anything, which is exactly what we're looking for. So we get way off the beaten path and we get into the spot and we jump a couple cows, but it's a bull only unit. And she lets off a location bugle and Zach, oh my God. Brah, 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 brah. Five or six just go nuts. And there's one who's just chuckling from his bed the whole time. You can tell he's laying down. He's got cows all around him. He doesn't need to bugle. He's just chuckling around, letting the boys know he's the boss. And he's kind of up a couple hundred yards up on this, this ridge coming down into it was horrible. I mean, we basically ran down this mountainside for 25, 30 minutes to get down there because there's so much activity. And it took us that long to run down. I mean, we were hauling. And we'd stop and she'd just throw out a locator and man, they'd go nuts. We get down to the bottom finally, 20, 30 minutes later. And you can hear this bull just thrashing and he is pissed. And he's probably 60, 70 yards away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to kill two of these. You know, it'll take us 5 days to get them out of here.
Yeah.
They're down here. They're everywhere. And I just kind of lost my stuff. And I was like, I'm taking off my pack and we need to split up and all this. And she's like, Steven, stop. Just stop for a second. And I'm all excited, you know. And she said, let's just go after this one right here. do you remember what we just came down? Do you know how far the car is away? You know, which isn't, it's typically not that big of a deal, but it was far and it was cold and we were, I mean, horrible, horrible spot. And so she starts bugling back and forth at this bull, and so much that she fires this other bull off enough to piss him off, to get him out of his bed. And he came down and started fighting this other bull in this creek bottom. And it sounded like a freight train coming through there. So they're scrapping for 3 or 4 minutes. We're trying to close the distance, and all of a sudden they both blow out of there and all the animals go up to the very top of the ridge. And now we're the only thing at the bottom.
Oh,
it was awful.
That, so, did you, so could you actually see him like fighting in the creek, or you just hear it?
It was so thick.
Oh yeah.
You could feel it in the ground, especially when the other one got out of his bed and he came down.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just feel it.
I've done that before. I was out locating, you know, early morning, you know, like 3 o'clock in the morning before daylight. You know, because those bulls just scream all night long, and it's, but then, you know, but they're shutting up by 9-10 o'clock, and so I'm like, well, I'm gonna be out there and at least close the distance enough in the dark to where when it is daylight enough, I'm in their bed, you know, I'm in their lap.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing. I kind of got between two bulls, and there was enough moonlight that I didn't even have to have a headlamp on at the time, and I'm not kidding, I was within, I don't know, the bulls were probably 100 yards apart, and I was in the middle. And it's like, and they're just mad. And I'm like, the wind was blowing, you know, like the wind was perfect. So like they blowing perpendicular to them. So like they couldn't smell me. And at one point, the bull to my left was pounding the ground and raking this tree. And I mean, I could just, you know how like even more deathly quiet it is at night. And like to just, I swear I could feel everything he was doing through the ground, just like you said. And at one point I got a little nervous and I said, if he gets any closer, I'm getting up and moving. Like, I don't want to be in the, because I mean, it's so far before daylight. And so anyways, the bull actually that was to my left shut up and kind of moved off. And so I just kind of moved off to the right one because I could still hear him here. He had cows. And I could hear the cows, you know, mewing, and I stayed on them and kind of got to this, they came out on this logging road, and I was probably, you know, 150, 200 yards behind them. And once I hit that logging road, I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to stop, take a nap. And once daylight comes around, you know, I'll see what happens. And I fell asleep so hard, and I woke up and it was daylight, and I'm like, oh shit, you know? And, but I'm not kidding you. I walked around that first little turn in that logging road, and there was two cows standing in the road. I was right there. They didn't go very far. And but yeah, long story short, I ended up stepping on a twig as I was trying to close the distance. And I mean, at this point, I'm probably 60 yards from them, and came to full draw and stepped out around, and they blew out. But it was so close. But it was, but just that experience of feeling that bull like pissed off through the ground. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Man, they just create an energy that you couldn't explain it to someone who's never experienced it, because we don't have that. You just can't. I mean, there's the depth in your vocabulary just will not allow you to go, okay, this is what I felt. Yeah. I can describe to you what it sounded like, you know, and maybe what my feet felt like and you know, but man, I'll tell you what, it was two heavy, heavy, heavy animals, and neither one of them had any plans of backing down at all. And they got after it. And I'll never forget turning around and looking at her face. And you know, it's only her second year bow hunting. She's been a rifle hunter her whole life. She's a cold-blooded killer though. You know, she's killed a whole bunch of animals. And just to be, you know, when you're a bow hunter, you get inside of that critical area where now sight also mixes with scent and feel, right? That kind of that sixth sense of knowing there's an animal around you. And it's so funny, like your story, Zach, you can stomp through there and smash you know, like when I'm over in eastern, kind of northeastern Oregon hunting like a bunch of blowdown, I drag my boots on these down logs and I stomp around and I sound just like an elk, right? And nobody cares. But if you creep around and you break little tiny twigs, you're like public enemy number one. You know, isn't that the craziest thing? It's, it's just the weirdest. It's the most counterintuitive thing ever. So seeing her face, man, turning around, that's a memory just burnt into my mind. She was so excited. She did all the calling. We are, you know, Joel Turner is like basically family to us, a dear friend of ours, and we've gone through his shot process class, and you know, we're actually having a seminar here at the house in July, and we've kind of done a little bit of kind of calling and all that stuff. And I didn't grow up, you know, in the western states hunting elk, so I'm trying to learn as much as I can, you know, in the last 5 years. And by no means whatsoever am I any kind of expert or like the elk hunting guru. I can get out to them for sure, you know, but closing that last 100 yards is, you know, that's a skill that you just has to be screwed up over and over and over and over and over. And so, you know, trying to figure out what exactly the play is depending on, you know, the elk or the cow's attitudes or where they're at or whatever, and is kind of been the next step for me and Courtney. And so she throws out an elk calling cow bugle that Joel kind of showed us, and she's like, well, should I try it? And I'm like, hell yeah, you know, gosh, you've, look what you've done to these guys since we got here. You know, yeah. You've basically pissed off every bull down here. And right before she goes to rip one off, so those two bulls are fighting and they basically, you know, blow out and they go up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet up vertical, all the way straight up this canyon on both sides, and they're screaming at each other from side to side. So we were like, well, let's sit down, same thing, take a nap. We're freezing cold. We were actually trying to dry her boots out the night before at our base camp, and one of them caught on fire, which totally sucked, burnt the tongue. So now it's not waterproof, you know, it's maybe water resistant at best. Well, it's like 12 degrees in the morning, snowing. And we're trying to stay warm. We find this spot that now the sun's kind of coming out, and we've got a pretty decent spot as far as wind goes and where we can just lay down and just take a little bit of a nap. And for me, I've got a really busy mind. I'm the hyper kid, right? So I don't really nap, but just laying down, closing my eyes does a lot for me. So we're laying there for, I don't know, 45 minutes or something, and hear mew, 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 mew. And I'm like, what? There's no way there's another hunter down here. No one else is, you know, crazy enough to come down here. And I look at her and I was like, well, let's bust up this hill a little bit, you know, a couple hundred yards and see. And I was like, there's no way. That's a hunter. You know, that's the worst estrus cow call ever. And freaking sure enough, it's a cow. And she is going nuts. Just nonstop. So I'm like, okay. So I start calling back to her and we split up a little bit. And you don't hear any bulls at all, right? And you kind of hear a little bit of a little chuckle. He starts to hear her, and the wind's blowing straight up the hill. So I think he smells her, and then he's kind of realizing, okay, it's the real deal. Come on up here with us. And Court's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try this bull calling cow bugle. And she lets that thing off, and a freaking avalanche of pissed off bull comes pounding up over way up above us. He must have knocked, you know, 10 yards worth of rock and debris down the top of this hill. He was so mad as soon as she did that. He thought that another bull was down there trying to call that cow away from him. Oh my God. It was the most exciting thing. I don't even know where she ended up going. She kind of circled over by us, and it was so thick. You can't see him until they're 30. Yeah. So, it was exciting. So we're really looking forward to getting back over to that spot. And then, you know, as far as hunts here, I want to kill this super stud mature blacktail that I've been after. This will be year 3 now. He's a stud. We named him Ali. We found him 3 years ago. Well, 2 years ago, I guess. This year will be year 3. Just scouting out this spot, eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And, you know, she's facing one direction. I'm facing the other, like Forrest Gump and Bubba, right? Yeah. Sitting in the rain with our backs to each other. Going into the spot, we saw all these crazy rubs, and you'd see the spot where, you know, lions have scratched it all up, and you see elk rubs. And what's funny is on some of these deer and elk rubs, there's bear hair all over it. So there's like this power struggle for you know, for space and area, and it's nuts, you know, and that's where all of our trail cams are, you know, videos and footage is coming from. So we're kind of on our toes a little bit, just paying attention. And we heard, you know, what sounded like a couple bears pushing around through there. And we're sitting in the rain, eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And she's like, babe, I hear something. I'm like, okay. And she's facing the other way. And she's like, it's behind me. It's your direction. I was like, all right, perfect. So I'm left-handed, which is important for the story. I stand up. My arrow's already knocked on my bow. And my pack is at the end of my feet. I actually had my legs over my pack. And I take a step with my left leg first over the pack. I pick my bow up, but I'm not in the right stance to draw my bow. And as I stand up, I look behind us, and about 12, maybe 15 yards tops is this freaking stud blacktail. And he's staring at us, but he's not like, Zach, he's not like, oh, I'm a scared deer. I hope you guys don't kill me. He's like, what the F are you doing in my woods? Dude, he was intimidating. He was the most intimidating deer in the 38 years of my life I've been alive. You know, grew up in Michigan. I've thinned the herd. I've killed so many, you know, I've bow hunted my whole life and seen some monster whitetails, and this deer was terrifying. He had no need or want to run away from us at all. I thought he was going to charge us.
Wow.
So I'm just staring at him, and my feet are completely lined up in a linear fashion. So there's no stagger to my stance at all. I got my left foot in front of my right, and they're, you know, a big step as far as distance apart. I have really good balance. You know, I've been training that for 20 years, and all of a sudden I'm falling apart, dude. I'm falling apart. My back foot starts shaking and twitching, and I'm starting to lose my balance, and my heart rate goes up to like 200 beats a minute. And Courtney said that I told her, don't move. But I have no memory of that at all. she said, when you look over, all I saw was your foot. She's like, you're falling apart. I thought you were going to fall over. I thought you were going to just buckle the knees, hit the ground. And so she has no idea what it is, right? Because I'm not like, oh my God, the biggest blacktail I've ever seen in my life. I'm locked down. I'm not even speaking English at the time. I'm trying not to let him see us to blow him out, because I'm like, oh my God, this is a deer that I've waited my entire life to see, you know, let alone be in the woods with. And so she has no idea what's happening. So the next thing I hear is chunk, chunk, really slow. She chambers a 40 round in her pistol. And I'm like, immediately I'm like, yep, that's the woman of my dreams. So this deer probably hangs out, feels like for an hour, probably hangs out for 15 or 20 seconds. And he turns his entire body without moving his head at all. He's still staring at me. And he jumps this vine maple that's probably 6 or 7 feet. It's kind of arced over this big stump. And he jumps and clears this thing by 10 inches like a freaking cat. I've never seen a deer jump from a standstill straight up over something like this and takes off. And we've chased this deer now for 2 years. 4 days later, this is the peak of the rut too in Oregon. He comes and literally stands probably minutes after getting to a monster scrap. And he stands about a foot and a half in front of one of my trail cams, and his left eye is swollen shut.
Oh, wow.
And he's given that same stare into the camera that he gave me. And so we named him Ali.
Yeah.
And he's been there for the last, you know, 2.5-3 years that we're going after him. And I've got hundreds of videos of him, from nubs on his head to, you know, I think Cam Haynes reposted a video that I posted last year, and it got like 200,000 views and the first day it was up. He's a stud.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
So We're hoping to finally seal that deal, but we've only got him out, you know, on video during the daytime, I think 4 times in 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he's cagey. He's a stud. So wow, that's a huge goal this year.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I can see why, but yep. No, I'm excited. I'm actually going to go down and hunt Idaho this year for elk archery. And I mean, to make a confession, I have this, I don't know, people think that I've, you know, killed a lot of elk because I've got a lot of elk stories, and I have. I've killed a couple, but I've never killed them with my bow, you know, and most people don't know that. But I've had opportunities. You know, I've missed a couple, you know, just kind of missed ranges and shot under one. Well, I shot under two bulls. And then I missed a cow. And I mean, I've had opportunities, and I've been on many hunts where it was successful. I wasn't the one that pulled the trigger, but yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I was packing elk meat out. But all the, like, you mean, I've, you know, I killed a giant bull a couple years ago in Washington, and then I killed another 6-point before that, a few years before that, with, you know, all rifle kills. But yeah, so I'm kind of excited. I've got pretty high hopes of actually, you know, sticking one for myself this year in Idaho, and I'll be out there with, you know, Zach Bohay, and we'll both have tags, and it'll be a good time. I'm real excited for that hunt.
That's so. Gonna be a lot of fun, man. We had a booth at the Washington Sportsman's Show. We had our Maven booth out there.
Yeah.
And our neighbors were the Department of Wildlife for Idaho, and it was the chief biologist. His name's Toby. He's the man. I mean, the buck stops with him. So for a week, Courtney's working him. He's working Courtney. And he's like, you know, he's like, Steven, you ready to spend your money? And this was right after her shoulder surgery. And she's pushing me like, oh, my God, babe, get your tags, get these spots. These guys have given you 4 spots that they're like, if you're not shooting a 350 class bull, that means you haven't gotten out of the truck.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe there's a collaboration hunt of the Elevation Fitness Training and the Hardworking Hunter.
Well, it'd be the hunt DIY.
Absolutely. Yeah. Full on. So yeah, and you know what, truth be told, I have been hunting elk for 4 years, and my very first year, first stock, first attempt, I was told to run with the herd by this old timer. He was, you know, half lit up on Keystone, so I didn't pay any attention to him for the first 20 minutes he was talking. But he said, man, when I was young and fit like you, I used to, I'd find a herd of cows in the middle of the night, 2-3 in the morning, and I would go out there and I'd put my bow up on my shoulders and break up the profile of my head and shoulders. He goes, if you think about it, we're the only predators that look like us that hunt animals.
Yeah.
He said, so you break up your profile of your head. So I would just put my bow string up on top of my shoulders, and I'd walk out there so they couldn't see that profile. And I would get down and make sure the wind's right, or you're never going to get close to him. But get down on my hands and knees and basically just be still until those cows spook. And if there's, you know, anywhere from 6 to 50 of them, they're going to spook to a bull. More than likely, if you're down in kind of a valley, they're going to spook up the ridge to where that bull is, because he's going to be up there doing his thing. And all you have to do is run with him. You're just another set of hooves. So, yeah, man, that's what I did. I gave it a shot. I ran up there, and, you know, my first year elk hunting, and it was, the only thing I did was listen to what he said. There was no skill involved at all. It was just, you know, a goofball running up through blowdown, got up to the very top, this kind of bottleneck, kind of a shoot style thing at the top of this burn. And I come up over the hill, and there's this, man, I couldn't even, you know, it's my first experience with a bull. I couldn't even think. It was just this huge, it looked like a horse with baseball bats growing out of his head. So I see him there, and he's probably 20 yards away, and he doesn't see me. And so I'm kind of stuck, right? I'm not really sure what to do until he starts thrashing this little jack pine. And, you know, I remember as a kid, one of the first things my dad told me was, you know, if a buck comes out and he starts rubbing on a tree or thrashing a little tree, he's going to close his eyes to protect his eyes, so it's a good time to draw. Well, I always tree stand hunted, you know. Unless it was a shotgun season or muzzleloader season, then we had this big hay field and we would just make, you know, hay bale blinds, and then it doesn't matter. So I was like, right? His eyes are closed. I'm going to draw on him. I mean, I was so intimidated by him, and I was so impressed by the size of this gigantic herd bull that I kind of like reverted to this childhood, what am I supposed to do? You know,
yeah.
I can't believe this is happening, because it was just pure luck. There wasn't, I didn't, You know, there wasn't like a, I played to win and I did this and all these great stories that these incredible hunters that you admire do time after, you know, the Ryan Lampers and the Corey Jacobson and all these guys, you know, Dave Bronio. And it's there was none of that. It was just being at the right time, following these herd of cows, having enough fitness to run for an hour, basically up this monster hill, get up to the top. And I was like, man, I feel like such a stud. My heart rate isn't anything special. You know, it's exactly where it's supposed to be. And then I saw that animal and everything changed. I can't breathe. My heart's blowing out of my chest. So I draw, he's just tearing up this little pine. He's 15 yards in front of me, just dead on facing me. He's tearing up this little pine. I draw my bow and who knows how long I'm drawing for, you know, it wasn't even important. And I'm just waiting for him and waiting for him and waiting for him. And he lifts his head up and he walks in front of that tree and he's face on to me, but he never lifts his head up above his own chest.
Yeah.
So there's no shot, but he's looking dead at me. The wind is blowing at my face and he's, you know, and all you can smell is elk. And he bugles at me from about 12 yards. And I think I peed a little bit. I'm almost sure of it. So it's a good thing that the wind was blowing at my face because that would have ruined everything. So then he literally took 4 or 5 steps straight backwards, Zach. He didn't turn. He didn't do anything like that until he got behind that same pine that was probably about 6 foot tall, maybe 5 foot tall that he was tearing up, you know, prior. He quartered away with that pine tree covering his vitals. And I just kept thinking of my dad telling me as a kid, if it's not 100%, don't take the shot. If it's not 100%, don't take the shot. And I couldn't let the arrow go, man. I couldn't let the arrow go. And I've thought dozens of times, could I have made that shot? You know, was his vitals completely covered? You know, what did I lock up? What was the real deal? He was an absolute giant. I've never seen a bull in person, anything like him since. You know, I've seen some pretty decent ones, but nothing like him. And he just took off. I don't think he ever really realized what I was. I never moved. And so the crazy thing was, I let down, and he just kind of scampers off. And I am just adrenaline pumped. I have no idea what happened. I can't believe that. And I thought it was a victory just getting up there and being able to draw on him. This is my first real, you know, elk hunt. I think we were out there for 20 days. It was like me and 4 buddies. And I can't believe it, man. This is like day 6, but my first real attempt, right? And so I'm standing there and all of a sudden from like, you know, 5 o'clock to my right, I hear, whoosh. And I was like, oh my God, what was that? And I turn and there's a freaking giant cow and a calf. Probably, I don't know, 10 feet behind me. And maybe they were standing there the whole time. I don't know. But now all of a sudden I'm thinking, I'm going to get stomped to death.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of. And how the hell did she get that close to me? Was she there the whole time? Did she watch me? There's no way. Did she watch me draw? I mean, my wind was blowing directly at her. So now I'm like going from killing to surviving. So I'm like, I've got this big cold steel knife in my pocket, you know, a self-defense knife. And I've taught self-defense for quite a long time and I'm handy with a weapon. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to defend myself with this knife against this cow. So I slowly pull it out. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And she barked so loud at the back of my head that my ears were ringing for minutes and ran off. And that was my very first experience of getting up close and personal to an elk. And I sat on this burnt stump for who knows how long and just sat there and was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's happened? Amazing. That's awesome.
And haven't been at full draw on an elk since.
Oh, you know wow. What
I
mean?
That was 3.5 years ago. So I'm with you, buddy. I sure would like to get it done this year, and I feel really confident that we're going to put ourselves in a position to do so.
Yeah, you know, I kind of have a similar story there with my brother-in-law. You know, he kind of grew up a waterfowl hunter and, you know, I think he said he'd been up to like what they call elk camp a couple times, you know, with his dad or whatever, but it was more of a camping trip that if you stumbled into an elk, you got lucky type thing.
Yeah.
And, so I took him out on a muzzleloader hunt, and you know, that's that first week of October. And so those bulls are still screaming and, got lucky in some thick timber country and stumbled into a herd of elk, and it was a nice bull. It was easily 340. I mean, it was a stud bull, and spotted him from about 2 miles away on this ridge line. And I was like, well, you know, we can get back down to the road, and the road takes us to the base of that mountain, and then we could be up there in about 3 hours. And he was in pretty good shape, so he was able to keep up. And dude, I couldn't have wrote a more picture perfect script of, like, we hiked to where we last saw the bull, look down into the canyon, bugle, and he's gonna bugle back and tell us where he's at, and we're gonna go get him. And it pretty much happened just like that. And so we got down into that bottom, and he had a lot of cows, and he was hard to work, but it was the best game of chess I've ever played with a bull elk. Just, just back and forth bugling. Well, actually, that's not true. I went strictly cow call after I bugled that one time until we got down into his house, and I just couldn't pull him out of that last little bit. I mean, with a muzzleloader, you know, we could have shot to 150 easily, but it wouldn't have mattered because you couldn't see 30 right. yards most of the time.
Yeah.
And so it was just trying to pull him that last, you know, 30, 40 yards out of the timber. But, you know, same thing where his first experience on an elk hunt, we worked that bull for, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours within 200 yards. I mean, just, you know, just screaming the whole time. And it was even worse that we knew how big he was because we got to see him early that morning. Same thing. He's been on one elk hunt now. And, like, got to experience that. And I said, do not expect this every time you go elk hunting. You know, this is the best game of chess I've ever played. And we didn't win, you know, but it was still one of the best elk experiences I've ever had. And, you know, that's kind of like the same thing with you. I mean, that's an experience that you'll never forget. And that's what it's all about right there.
We're really, really looking forward to it. I actually just snagged Court real quick. I figured she'd probably want to say hi to you. We were just talking about what we're looking forward to this next year, you know, some of your recovery, and
I'm looking forward to all of it.
Oh yeah. How you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm doing really good. Yeah, feeling like $1 million. How's Zach?
Oh man, I'm feeling a lot better myself. Just, you know, dropping weight. The winter treated me a little good, and so I've been kicking it into overdrive as far as getting into shape. And shoot, I've only got a month and a half, and a little more than a month and a half, and I'm heading into the mountains here in Alaska. So
awesome!
It's coming quicker than I'm ready for. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, on one hand we're like, man, it's never going to get here. On the other, we're like, holy crap, like, it's almost time.
Yeah,
you know it. You know, for the longest time, I really didn't spring hunt that much. And now being able to go out and, like, chase bears and turkeys and whatnot, it's like, with spring hunting, it breaks up that longevity of, you know, between Septembers. And it just goes so much faster now, way faster than I ever remembered.
Yeah, it does, for sure. But thank God.
Yeah, right.
There's more to life.
she was shooting bugs with a salt. What's it called?
Bug assault. Yeah.
Last night. Yeah. And so we're like, you know what, man? There's never an off season. She's keeping those skills sharp, man. She thinned her. There isn't a single insect flying around her parents' house these days.
Yeah. Well, and then even now with, like, you know, you can go hunt coos deer in January, you know, down in Arizona and break up the winter months. And and that's one of the funnest bow hunts. It's actually one of my favorites now. It's like, when it comes to allotting time for hunts, I try the best I can to, I mean, if, you know, me being a mule deer guy kind of my whole life, I would give up, you know, a 10-day hunt, mule deer hunt, to go down there and hunt those damn coos deer with the bow. Cause it's a, you know, they're in the rut. It's a target rich environment. And it's super nice weather when it's, you know, 10 degrees back home.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
It really helps break up the year.
Depression and anxiety rates are going down rapidly.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I've been following following your story on Instagram, and I'm super happy that that you're feeling better and ready to kick ass this year.
Heck yeah. Thank you very much. It's been a lot of lessons learned, and I'm ready to, you know, get back on the horse and ride the hell out of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I see it every day. I'm just like, you look back on it, or, you know, I've obviously talked with a lot of folks about it lately via podcasts or events or whatever, and, you know, 3D shoots. And every time I retell a story or kind of explain, you know, what the past 6-7 months has looked like, it's like, man, what an inspiration, or how tough, or, you know, dang, I stubbed my toe. I better just keep that to myself. You know? So it's, I think it's a really good, you know, and she's going through her very first surgery. I was like, you know, you're going to just be able to be this guiding light for so many people, but specifically women with some of the stuff you've gone through. Just know that, hey, that's just a matter of time, you know, surround yourself with a power team and, you know, find a plan, adhere to it, and make it happen. And, you know, you're going to come out on the other end, you know, good. And she's absolutely done that. You know, it's inspiring. So,
yeah.
So now we get to go chase those big ass bulls again.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting. No, I, definitely might have to think about that, collaboration hunt.
Yeah. We were talking about, getting into Idaho and some of those units that Toby were telling us about, and it's a Elevation Fitness Training Hardworking Hunter.
Yeah. I'm in.
DIY.
Let's do it.
So,
heck yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Awesome.
No, it'll be good. Yeah, it'll be, you know, it works out. It's actually kind of a good schedule for me because, you know, most of the hunting up here in AK is done in August. I mean, yeah, some of the moose is in September, but, you know, you get sheep and caribou out of the way in August, and then, like, Sitka deer and mountain goat are in November. And so you kind of have this dead zone of, oh, hey, look, September's open. Let's go back to Idaho.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. It's going to be a good year. Well, going to be a good, like, 3 years for me, I think, where I don't know how long I'll stay up here, but enough to partake in all of what Alaska has to offer.
Heck
definitely,
yeah, man.
For sure. Don't come back until that cup is overflowing.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, don't come back until that cup is overflowing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely a little homesick already from just, you know, the Western landscape down there. But so that it'll be good to be able to still come down and hunt in September. So yeah, I miss those mountains down there, even though these ones are gorgeous up here, but those mountains down there don't have Alders and Devil's Club. So,
oh my gosh, yeah, no joke. They're Alders are just horrible. You might as well be hunting on the coastal range of Oregon.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's something that I've really never partaken in until this last November. I went on a goat hunt here with a buddy, and it was absolutely miserable. I just, I mean, yeah, I'm in the grand scheme of things, it was fun, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. But you know, it was a whole different set of challenges that. A lot of it was mental, to be honest, you know, just those things just grab a hold of you in every nook and cranny that they can. And you're just fighting them the whole time, you know, and it's only going uphill. Going downhill, it's pretty easy to go through them because they grow out. And
yeah.
So, you know, when you're coming up, they grab a hold of your pack, your gun, your bow.
Ugh.
I mean, it was a mental game is what it was. I mean. You're on your hands and knees a lot of the time trying to crawl through them. I mean, it's
miserable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. But, well, shoot. I appreciate you coming on, telling some awesome stories. That was pretty good.
Yeah, man. Of course. Anytime. We absolutely love what you do, and we like having you as, you know, part of the family. I would consider anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's endless stories, and, you know, I feel really fortunate to be in a position that we are to really help people, to get out into these experiences, you know, and have the capacity physically, but mentally as well. And just be confident knowing that they've trained, they're balanced, their core work is strong, so they can resist falls and make it through those alders. You know, you wouldn't imagine a nice strong core, what that'll do for you with a heavy pack on and your balance and strength and endurance. And, you know, we like the challenge of, you know, Elevation Fitness Training is an online program, right? We don't do any, we're going to do a little bit of, in-person stuff here at our place. We've got, you know, a nice property and a range to shoot at and a bunch of different obstacles and that kind of stuff, some kind of warrior training, but you know, it's basically 100% online program. And it's fully catered. We, you know, not 100% of the people that seek us out, we end up working with it because it has to be a good fit. You know, there's typically a 45 minute to an hour long interview on the phone just to make sure that, you know, our morals and our compasses line up correctly with each other, and that, you know, it ends up being a very intimate relationship, and we want to make sure that the representation is that of what we believe in, and, you know, that our members don't have a bunch of pictures of naked women or something on their, you know, their feeds and social media. And there has to be a, you know, a good, accurate, you know, representation and good communication. And so, yeah. You know, the fact that we can help people from afar, I mean, we've got people in Michigan and Texas and Colorado and Idaho and Nevada and Washington and Alaska. And, you know, there's a guy 2 years ago who was stationed over in Tel Aviv, Israel. You know what I mean? And he checked in twice a week and got his workouts. And so yeah, no matter what you do or where you're going.
Well, and I think that what you bring up a good point there is, I mean, what you're offering is an awesome program, but what you're helping out, I think the biggest thing that you're helping out with is the accountability, you know, and yeah. It's like, you know, once you provide that, you know, I mean, I know that I would actually benefit from that more than anything, you know, I mean, I just get so dang, I feel like I'm so busy with, I mean, I'm basically working two jobs where, you know, I'm doing taxidermy right now up here in Anchorage as a day job, you know, full-time job, and then I'm trying to edit and, you know, shoot films and do the whole outdoors thing, you know, and it's becoming a second job, and it's just nonstop all the time. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's my own poison, but you know, it's like, where do I fit in all the extra training that I need? Like, I would benefit more, or I guess I know that it would benefit me if it, you know, if I did it more. And, you know, and that's kind of where, I think a program like that would help a lot.
Yeah. You know, Zach, the number, you know, the two biggest requests that we get are, one is by far every single person that I talk to is the accountability, you know, the accountability. And then the number two is help me figure out how to make the time. And so one thing that I suggest to everybody, if you take anything out of, you know, any of this, it's know that there is a difference between being productive and being busy, right? If your kids want to just go hang out for 10 minutes in the yard, don't be too busy for that. Yeah. Don't be busy on your phone or busy on this, right? Or it's, I have to go out and do my 30 minute or 45 minute or hour workout, whatever it is. I'm too busy. No, you're not. Right. I mean, and take that. If you want to take that personally, great. If you're being productive and you're doing work, then we figure out how to fit it in, where to fit it in. Cause there's always time. Yeah. Right. So I tell people, be sure to never be too busy for life, because busy typically means it's inaction. We're sitting still, playing on your phone, sitting in front of a screen, whatever it might be. And if you're being productive and you're getting stuff done in that fashion or on that platform, great. Don't use the I'm too busy, right? Like, you're being extremely productive doing two jobs, and you know, we're the same way. We're trying to have, you know, irons and so many irons in the fire and have all this stuff done and not be too busy to answer questions. It's daily, 7 days a week. I mean, you wake up, tons of notifications on the phone through the training app or Instagram or whatever, answering questions about our bow setups or training or Maven or, you know, a wilderness athlete or who knows, right? It's endless. And if you're too busy, no one's going to respect you. And if you're too busy, no one's going to take your advice. And it might be advice that could save their life or help them meet a goal. And so if you get too busy, you're going to kind of lose yourself. So that accountability, being able to show up for an exercise from the neck down. You don't have any decisions to make. You have to pick your music to listen to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what we try to provide, and it's very custom fit, because what Zach needs is different from what Steven needs, or what Courtney needs, or what John needs, or what Dave needs. You know what I mean? So it has to be specifically designed for each individual person. And that investment in time, finances, and effort is the only thing in life that you'll get 100% return on, right? You buy a car, it appreciates. You buy a home, it appreciates. Furniture, jewelry, all that stuff. But when you invest in your health and your future, you are guaranteed 100% return. So that's kind of what we do and what we love, and it really fills our cup.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. So
thanks, man. Appreciate it. Well, we think what you're doing is awesome, and I'm so living vicariously through you, man. I'm almost in your pack every day.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot more to come. That's for sure. You know, this last season, actually, I only hunted for myself for 3 days. You know, I went on two different hunts where I was filming. But otherwise, like, I had a bow in my hand for 3 days, and I got a shot at a mule deer buck, and he jumped my string. I shot right over him. Well, it would have hit him, but you know, he ducked. Which is super uncommon for a mule deer, but right. he was staring right at me. I mean, he knew I was there. But so
it's like Alabama whitetail.
It was, dude. He saw it coming a mile away. But it was a now or never shot, and I mean, I was in a good position. It was 50 yards. I was like, it's very doable. And normally they would just stand there and wouldn't have the reaction time. But oh man, he jumped my string bigger than crap. But like I said, I just didn't get to hunt a lot for myself last year with the move, and you know, just financially, basically, is what it came down to. And but this year's a whole new season, and I have a lot of hunt planned, so it'll be fun. Man, it'll be
awesome.
Lot of content for you to geek out on later.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. So, that's gonna be absolutely incredible. I'll be calling you for some interviews here shortly just to get your take on life.
Yeah
it'll be awesome.
Well, all right, man, Steve, thanks again for jumping on, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, dude, I really appreciate you having me, man. I absolutely love everything you're doing. I love watching your newest, latest, greatest adventure, and I'm stoked for you, and I think anybody would enjoy that. And keep it up, man.
Yep.
You're killing it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy.
See ya.